Welcome to Tandem with the Random, a bi-weekly podcast featuring interesting people doing interesting things from all different walks of life. In this installment, we'll hear from Katie Musser, Assistant Director of University Housing at James Madison University, who just returned from a trip to New Orleans as a Habitat for Humanity project site leader. This was Katie's second Habitat for Humanity experience, as she also spent 2 weeks working on a Habitat condominium project in Anchorage, Alaska in July 2006. That conversation and more is just ahead on Tandem with the Random for Monday, May 16th, 2011. Now here is your host, Brian Kelly. Hello, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Tandem with the Random. My name is Brian Kelly, and I am your host for this podcast. My guest this time out is Katie Musser, a former Rider University classmate of mine and current Assistant Director of University Housing at James Madison University in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Katie recently returned from New Orleans, where she and approximately 50 students from JMU took part in a Habitat for Humanity project, continuing a six-year JMU tradition of assisting New Orleans in its long recovery from Hurricane Katrina. We'll talk to Katie about that Habitat project and a previous experience she had with the organization in Anchorage, Alaska. But first, a few random thoughts. I think for the rest of the current season of Doctor Who, we'll be starting out this portion of the podcast with quick mini-reviews of the episodes preceding each installment. Curse of the Black Spot, which aired on BBC America on May 9th, was a decent enough episode. It had pirates and what appeared to be a killer siren of the sea, but it paled in comparison to the season's first two episodes. But then we saw The Doctor's Wife on May 16th, and that was absolutely brilliant. Written by sci-fi fantasy novelist Neil Gaiman, who also wrote Coraline and The Sandman, The Doctor's Wife saw the matrix, or soul, if you will, of the Doctor's time and spaceship known as the TARDIS, placed into the body of a woman on an asteroid junkyard in a bubble universe existing just outside of our known universe. It was a bit of a dark story, but full of funny quips and great emotional performances by all involved. And for the first time since Doctor Who returned to TV screens in 2005, we saw corridors inside the TARDIS, not just the console room or a quick glimpse of the wardrobe. And at its heart, the episode told the story of the most important presence in the Doctor's life, his TARDIS, including a great explanation for why it usually doesn't wind up where the Doctor wants it to go. It really was a love letter to Doctor Who fans, young and old. Also, I'd like to congratulate those of you who purchased discounted tickets to the Apple Farm Arts and Music Festival in Elmer, New Jersey on Saturday, June 4th, using the special Tandem with the Random discount code. By using that code, 11 of you out there and some guests will get to attend a special meet and greet at the festival with the fantastic Nicole Atkins, who will be performing that day along with Josh Ritter, Ani DeFranco, Trombone Shorty, and many others. That should be a very fun event. I'm looking forward to it. Finally, I want to take this opportunity to say happy first anniversary to my wonderful wife, Allison. For some reason, she willfully married me May 22nd of last year. And if you want to see the pictures and videos, click on the links in the show notes. I've also included links to photos from our awesome honeymoon in Greece last year that included Athens, Mykonos, and Santorini. So check those out. It was just beautiful. It was a great time, and hopefully at some point in our lives we'll get to go back there. But on that note, after this short musical break, we'll hear Katie Musser talk about her experiences with Habitat for Humanity. Stay tuned.
WordPress.com.
Our guest this week is Katie Musser, Assistant Director of University Housing at James Madison University. Katie recently returned from New Orleans, where she helped lead a group of about 50 JMU students on a Habitat for Humanity project. Katie, thank you for joining us on Tandem with the Random. How are you?
Good, Thanks for having me, Brian.
So before we get into talking about the New Orleans trip, you've taken part in Habitat for Humanity projects before. Why don't you talk about your past experience with the organization and how you first became interested in Habitat for Humanity projects?
It was July of 2006. I went on a two-week Habitat trip to Anchorage, Alaska. I was always sort of one of those, and Brian, you may disagree with this, one of those do-gooder folks who like to do volunteer work. I did a bunch in high school and that sort of thing. And in, the late fall of 2005, beginning of 2006, I was working on doing some proofreading of a book about Jimmy Carter. And, you know, it was just a really interesting experience. I didn't know much about Jimmy Carter. And one of the things that I really enjoyed learning about was more of his involvement with Habitat. I was under the misassumption that he actually founded Habitat, and that book cleared all of that up for me. That got me thinking about ways that I could actually get involved and maybe take some time out of my own schedule and do something with Habitat. So I went online and I looked at all the trips, and they have so many different trips. They have international trips, they have local one-day projects you can do, and then they have a variety of national trips. I did something called a global village trip, and what that is choosing to go to a site for a period of either a week or 2 weeks. And I decided to go to Alaska because I figured when else was I going to get the opportunity to go. So one of the things that people, I were really surprised to find out about Habitat trips is that you have to pay to go on them. Anytime I've talked about it with people, they've expressed, they're surprised to find out that, for example, the Alaska trip out of pocket cost at least $1,500. So I had some help doing some very minor fundraising for it, and I got the chance to go, and it was something that I think really made a big impact on how I wanted to sort of lead my life in terms of being involved not only with Habitat, but with some other volunteer opportunities, mostly in my community.
Excellent. And I remember being one of those people that was shocked how much you needed to shell out for the Habitat trip, but I guess the experience is worth it.
Well, and one of the reasons that it costs what some may consider to be such a high amount of money is because, number one, you have to, A, give a donation to the site that you're going to. So let's say I was $1,500 for my Alaska trip. Of that $1,500, $700 of it went to Habitat for Humanity Anchorage. Then the remainder of the money has to go for paying for your meals. All your meals are provided for. So generally you cook them, you pack lunches, you cook breakfast and make your dinners, but you've got to get food for upwards of 15 people on the trip. And then also if you have to pay for lodging, our Habitat trip, we actually stayed in a wonderfully outfitted church, but the one thing they were missing were showers. So we had to pay from our fee, about $30 for each of us to get a gym pass to go to a local health club and use the showers. So Habitat takes all of that money that they collect from each participant and uses it in a way to give back to the families and they operate on a skeleton crew. So they've got to pay some salary, so it was definitely worth it for me in the long run.
So why does James Madison University, a school in Harrisonburg, Virginia, send students down to New Orleans to work on a Habitat for Humanity project?
James Madison really is committed to community service and engaging our students outside of the classroom. That's definitely one of our goals, is educating the students beyond just the book learning. So we have a department called Community Service Learning, and they do all sorts of trips, whether it be these one-week trips to New Orleans Habitat sites. They also do weekend trips around the state of Virginia. They do spring break trips both nationally and internationally. This year we had students go to Honduras and Belize, and I myself went to Missouri. So that being said, first off, we have a strong foundation in community service. When Hurricane Katrina hit, everyone around the country wanted to know how they could give back. And because JMU has a strong commitment to service, the Community Service Learning Office put together a trip. And it became a yearly tradition that a group of students would take the 17-hour bus ride down to New Orleans and help with the Habitat Project. What's really, I think, most exciting about the JMU Habitat trip is it's done the day of graduation, meaning that the bus leaves at 10:30 p.m. Graduation services have closed. There's people are saying goodbye to their friends and family, and then some students have actually graduated, and they choose to get on that bus and take a trip down to New Orleans. And again, this is a trip that they're paying for. So the trip started small. At one point, it actually got to upwards of 105 students, but it was found that that was actually a little too large. When you have to deal with two buses and finding lodging and just, I don't know if you've ever had to try to corral 100 college students, especially in New Orleans, but it was decided to take the group down to about 50 participants, which is where it is today. And I had the pleasure of accompanying 50 students down to New Orleans. I will say that I think it may be my last 70-hour bus trip with college students for a while, though.
Yeah, I heard they do a lottery, right, to pick the students who go?
Yeah. There were roughly 300 students who indicated interest in wanting to go. As I mentioned before, the Office of Community Service and Learning, they do alternative spring breaks. They also do alternative Thanksgiving breaks, and this is called alternative May break. So what I found out is for this alternative May break, this included many students who were not able to get in on the alternative spring break trip. Our service trips are so popular that they do have to run a lottery. So students will pay a deposit and get a randomly assigned lottery number. Then there is just a big night in one of our main ballrooms where the lottery numbers are called, and then the students get to go pick their trip. For this May trip, because there was only one, it was a much smaller event. And one of the things we really tried to emphasize to our students who are on this trip is that we hope you feel lucky to be here, because there are about 250 folks who would have wanted to be here as well.
Wow. So you did more than work on a construction project while you were in New Orleans. Why don't you tell us about the other parts of the experience?
So the first day, we actually had the amazing opportunity to go to Benjamin Franklin Elementary School. One of the things I did not know about New Orleans, which I found that I had the experience on this trip that I really did not know much about New Orleans at all. And that was one of the things that the students and we all agreed that we really came away with a much better understanding of what's going on in the city. And one of the things we found out is that education in New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina, had one of the, I don't want to say positive, but one of the outcomes of Hurricane Katrina is that the city had the opportunity to revamp their school system. So right now what's going on in New Orleans is there's a charter school movement. So we actually went, like I said, to an elementary school, it's a charter school, and we worked for a day, and we just worked on their to-do list. We had a gentleman, he's one of the fathers at the school, they've got a dad's club, and every couple of weeks these dads come out and spruce up grounds and make benches and plant flowers and do all sorts of just, you know, general tasks. And so this dad voted for us. And we definitely got an even more robust New Orleans experience, because it turns out he was actually was on a couple of episodes of Treme, which I was pretty excited about. So I spent the day working with my group of seven students. We were in one hallway basically trying to clear off old paint, pull down old pictures, because they'd actually tried to collage the hall, which was really pretty, with pictures from magazines, but unfortunately the fire marshal didn't think it was too safe. So it was a little hard because we were actually taking down some of their good works, but one of the things that we all were really just came away feeling is that those students were so excited to have us. We did not encounter a student who didn't wave, say hello, tell us a joke. These kids range in age from about 5 to 12, and they start every day out on the playground. They do a full assembly for about the first 20 minutes. There was like good morning songs, and it was a great way to start the trip.
Excellent. So while you were down in New Orleans, the Mississippi was starting to get a little higher than usual. Army Corps of Engineers and regional officials were trying to figure out how to keep the Mississippi River from really flooding into the city. I know you left the night before it reached flood stage in that area, but what was going on? What was it like down there? What was the mood like? Were you being kept up to date in regards to what was going on about the river?
Well, I'll tell you, I found out about it in a way that made me really nervous. And it happened that the Friday before we left for the trip, Friday is the last day of the semester. So I'm in my office trying to wrap up all sorts of things, and I get a phone call from one of my student participants saying, has the trip been canceled because the Mississippi's going to flood? And I'll be honest, I wasn't keeping up with it at that point. So I took a look at weather.com and all sorts of stuff, and I was pretty confident that they would tell us if the trip was going to be canceled. And obviously, since we're having this conversation now, it wasn't. What did happen is that we got a really good education about what was going on down there, and we saw a lot of it, like I said, firsthand. One night we went down into the French Quarter, and we were at the Riverwalk. And one of the things we saw is it was around 9:30 at night. You see all the beautiful riverboats out. You see the bridges in the distance. And we're standing at the Riverwalk. Of course, there's a guy playing harmonica blues. He's singing. It was great. And he's right in front of a series of steps. And he later tells us that those series of steps right now, we can only see about six of them. And he tells us there's about 18 more below. The waters have been rising so high that these steps, which are rarely covered, have become increasingly more and more covered, and we actually saw one step get covered as we were there. We had the opportunity to find out more about the series of spillways. The Morganza spillway was just opened over the weekend, and it hasn't been open since 1973. So that means those small towns are going to have to bear the brunt of it, get all that water taken in. There's people who are getting pulled out of their homes and aren't sure when they're going to get back. So it was definitely on the minds of everyone when we were down there. But I will say that, like I said about the kids at Benjamin Franklin, the same thing goes with the folks we met in New Orleans. Without a doubt, the kindest, most generous, and most appreciative people I've ever had the opportunity to work with. Everybody was so excited to have us there and tell us more about their city. And yes, they're definitely nervous about the river rising, but these are folks who've come to terms with they're at Mother Nature's mercy, and they can only do what they can do. And now they have to put faith in the people who, unfortunately, back to Katrina, some of the things, that series of levees from Katrina was in 1927, I believe. So there's been a lot of changes in those 6 years, but they just hold out a good thought, and hopefully everything will get moved through without any big issues coming into New Orleans. The problem is it's those little towns around that are going to take the pressure off of New Orleans.
Well, I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I know, as your friend, that we're kind of extending your phone time quota for the quarter.
Yeah. So don't let my parents know that I was on the phone with you.
Okay, I won't. I'm sure they're not listening to my podcast. I'm sure there's nobody listening to my podcast. But one more personal question. Will you be coming up to New Jersey to see Ben Folds at the XPN Festival in July? Allison and I would be happy to see you again.
Well, when you put it that way, and out on this is going to be available on the internet, and other people are going to be able to hear it. So I guess I should say that I'm going to try my hardest. How about that? As the assistant director for university housing at James Madison, summer is definitely one of the hardest times to get out of the office. People always think that if you work at college, summers are pretty easy, but I actually mentioned it in passing to my boss, and he didn't squeal and say that was a bad time. So I'm going to try to take it, especially now that I hear that the Smithereens have been added to the lineup.
Yes. Okay. Well, our guest for this podcast has been my friend Katie Musser. For more information about the JMU trip to New Orleans or information on Habitat for Humanity, please click on the links in the show notes. Katie, thank you again for your time. I know your phone time is very limited, so thank you very much.
And I'll talk to you in 2013, Brian.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
That concludes this episode of Tandem with the Random. Again, I'd like to thank my friend Katie Musser from James Madison University for spending some time with us. Because of the Memorial Day holiday, the next installment of Tandem with the Random won't be until Monday, June 6, 2011, when we'll be joined by April Setti, co-director of Art All Night, a really cool 24-hour arts and music event that takes place in downtown Trenton, New Jersey. As usual, keep an eye on tandem.wordpress.com, follow us on Twitter at @TWTRpodcast, or like Tandem with the Random on Facebook for show updates. Until then, this is Brian Kelly. Take care.
Thoughts and views expressed by the host of Tandem with the Random are not necessarily shared by guests of the program. Conversely, the thoughts and views expressed by guests of the podcast are not necessarily shared by the host. For more information and show notes for the podcast you just heard, please visit Tandem with the Random on the web at tandem.wordpress.com.